dangerous out in that darkness, and that they found a safe place, a sanctuary. And that's what God desires for us as we do life together, to have a safe life together, to be able to come together. And I know that I read in Psalm 73, the psalmist needed a sanctuary. And there was a lot going on in his world, a lot of things he saw that he didn't understand. And in Psalm 73, verse 1, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how could God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. He's struggling with the prosperity of these people that are seemingly wicked. And he's trying to be righteous, and yet he goes, surely in vain I've kept my heart pure. I've washed my hands in innocence. You ever have that feeling? Like when you try to do right, things go wrong? And when people are doing wrong, things seem to go right. What's going on? All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. Wait a minute. I'm turning my life over to God, and now I'm struggling more? If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all of this, it troubled me deeply, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. It's amazing when we are deeply troubled, as he was, it seemed to stop when he arrived at the sanctuary. Then he could understand, then he could discern, then he gained a complete knowledge. The writer of this psalm spent energy working at understanding what was going on. Have you ever done that? You spend a lot of energy going, what is going on with my life? What's happening? I'm trying to understand it. He tried to find reason and meaning. And the mystery of divine providence was happening when he, unraveling when he went into the sanctuary. So, I think about things that are hard to understand, doing life together. That's very hard to understand. It's very hard to understand what the body of Christ is. It's very difficult to understand the church of God. It's difficult to understand the household of God and the brotherhood and the called out life together is too weighty for our weak powers, for our understanding. If we try to enter this with our understanding, we're going to be run over like a Mack truck. But we have to be humble because of our dysfunctional backgrounds, our different cultures, our experiences, some outside the church, some in the church. It's impossible to understand without us having and developing what I call sanctuary understanding. An understanding that's holy, a place of refuge, a safe understanding. So how do we do life together as this family, and how does a teenager do life in this family? How does a single mom really do life in this family with all the challenges and the responsibilities? How does a college student or married couples, how do we do life if we're young married with young kids? How do we do life if we're a little older and the bones are cracking and we're a little tired? How do we do life when we're empty nesters? Probably pretty good. Anyway, but how do you do that? How do you do life if you're from one side of town and other people are from the other side of town? How do you life if you're from a poor background and you're in community with people that are from, you know, upper class? How do you do life together? It's very challenging. I mean, that's why you see a lot of churches, they all kind of are the same. I grew up in a church that we were all, well, African-American and middle class. So we kind of understood each other, but we didn't go outside of ourselves. How do you do life together the way that God wants to do us, for us to do it? Well, we do it like Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who wrote it up. How do you do it? Well, you do it by God's word. You're at peace with one another. You love one another. You're devoted to one another in brotherly love. You honor one another above yourselves. You live in harmony with one another. You stop passing judgment on one another. You instruct one another. You accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. That's how you do life together. You greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, that's optional. When you come together to eat, wait for each other. You have equal concern for each other. You serve one another. You don't become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. You're kind and compassionate to one another. You're patient, bearing with one another in love. Listen to this. You carry each other's burdens. You forgive each other. You submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Not out of reverence to them, but out of reverence for Christ. In humility, you consider others better than yourself. You don't lie to each other. You bear with each other. You forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. You teach one another. You admonish one another. Your love should increase and overflow for each other. You encourage each other. You build each other up. You spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You don't slander one another. You don't grumble against one another. You confess your sins to each other. You pray for each other. You love each other. You offer hospitality without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve somebody else. You clothe yourself with humility toward one another. You love 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 one another deeply. And you get the point. So if you want to know how to do life better and do life together, open up the word of God Almighty. And you decide, am I loving one another? Am I living life together? Now, we're going to give some practicals, and we're going to talk about different things. But biblically, living together must be in God's sanctuary. And you can't get that without getting to the word of God. We can't do life alone. If we are to embrace and experience and do life together, we individually must confess that we cannot, as awesome as we are, do life alone. You can't do it alone. You see, life together is about a Christ-centered community. It's about a Christ-centered community. A Christian community is bound together by faith and not by experience. Bound together by faith and not by experience. You know, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians focuses on a Christ-centered community. Now, we talk about, hey, what's our foundation statement? We want to follow him. We want to be transformed by him. We want to join him. It's all about being Christ-centered. So when we talk about doing life together, keep that in mind. It's about being Christ-centered. What do you know about Corinth, the city? Paul's first letter to Corinth. What do you know about Corinth, the city itself? Not the church, but the city. Yes, Dan. Yes. Okay. All right. Yeah. Affluent, yeah, rich, yes. A port, yep, absolutely. It was a port, yeah, so, yeah. Very pagan, very worldly, okay. Corinth, destroyed by Rome in 146 BC and then rebuilt. It was a center trade route in the Mediterranean. By this time, it was a thriving commercial center. The time Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. It was full of competition, consumerism, self-promotion, and success shaped the culture of that city. So it was very driven, very worldly, on the go, busy. What do you know about Corinth, the church? Okay, all right. Focus on worship. Yeah, worship other gods, okay. We know about the church, yeah. Worldly, in what way? Okay, all right. Did the opposite of what Jesus would do, right? Yes. Aha. The people were like the city. They were also competitive, self-indulgent, focused, materialistic. They had different standards of, you know, well, we're elite, you're poor, and different classes. They were imitating the city. They were just like the city. So as a result, you had lawsuits, sexual immorality, craziness going on. Now, how would you address that family? We talk about, let's do life together. What would the introduction of your letter be like? Y'all heathens, you're just acting just like them. Repent. No, what would you say? What would you do? What would be your opening statement? Let's look at Paul's. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now here's what's wild. And you know, Paul... Do you know that Paul stayed there for a year and a half? He started the church there and stayed there for a year and a half teaching about Jesus. If Paul came to Tallahassee and stayed at the 1200 for a year and a half, boy, what kind of church do you think we would be? I mean, if Paul came to stay here for a year and a half, man... So Paul wrote this letter around 530 A.D. And not 530, 30 A.D., yeah. No, 530 A.D., yeah. No, that's wrong. Paul begins with these issues, okay? Here's how he deals with these issues. 1 Corinthians 1. And I want you to tell me what grabs your attention about how he starts off this letter with this family. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you, from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What kind of intro is that? What grabs you about that intro? Yeah. He always thanks God for him. Boy, if you want to live together, you got to thank God for people. Yeah. reminds them of who they are. Many times in the world, we can get lost and we can want to be somebody else and we forget who we already are. Great point. Yeah. God's love, reminding them of God's love. Absolutely. Todd. Yeah, they're a new creation like right now. Not when they got baptized 50 years ago, but right now, still new creation, still blameless. Yeah. They have everything they need. Man, 3 weeks ago we talked about being blessed, being satisfied with God. He's reminding them they are blessed. Yeah, man. That's right. He said, do you know who I am? Appointed by God. Yes. Yeah. How many times has he mentioned Jesus' name in these 9 verses? What do you think? Your guess on that? 9 times. In 9 verses. I think Jesus was the center of that Christian community for Paul. 9 times. As we make confessions daily of Jesus being the I am, the way, the truth, and the life, and allow God's word to shape the way we think and embrace and live our life together, that's the key. Now, let's take to heart what Paul says later on in his letter. He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Then he says, take to heart what he says to the church in Galatia. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Take to heart what Paul said to his letter in Colossae. Here there are no Gentiles or Jews, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. There's a brother, I talked to John Brush at FDC, there's a brother that wrote a book called Crossing the Line. And John Brush said, you got to get this brother to come and do this diversity workshop at your church. He came to South Florida. Amazing. He's a white brother. He said, let me tell you, he broke it down. You know what he said? He said, you know, back in the day, in our churches, we could say, you know what? Not too many people are talking about discipleship. So we were kind of set apart because we talked about discipleship in a way we were kind of unique. Now a lot of people are talking about discipleship. We were kind of also unique in terms of conversion. And now a lot of people are getting baptized. A lot of people are repenting. A lot of people are doing that. But he says, you know what really sets the church apart? When you read these scriptures about there's one body, no Jew, no Gentile, no slave, no free, all given one Spirit to drink. See, if we're to do life together and have a life impact, this is how we are going to have it. By doing life together. And people going, what in the world? How are you and you? How is that? Wow. What brings you guys together? Not an address, but a heart for God. Let's take to heart what Paul says so that we can do life together and glorify God. I want to close by doing a top 10 list. Okay? I want us to do a top 10 list. I want us to do this every week because it's going to be cool to see it grow and change and evolve over time. I want us to do a top 10 list. Okay? Now, I want, and we're going to write it up we're going to get your responses and write 10 of them up there, okay? So number one, well, the question is, what are the top 10 reasons why we should do life together? What are the top 10 reasons why we should do life together? And you could, yes, okay, Heidi? Because we're created for relationship. Can we type that up? We need a secretary up there. We still need a secretary up there. Ah, there we go. Okay. We were created for relationship. Okay, number two. Yes. Unity. Unity. All right, unity. Number three, yes. For our protection. Doing life together so that we can protect one another. Okay? Okay? Four, yes. Okay, we need to do life together because we need to confess to one another. Okay? Hey, Brandon. So we need to do life together so that we can mature. If we don't do life together, we don't mature. We stay kind of the way we are. Yes, Cheryl. Okay, so learning from each other so that we can help somebody else. Okay? You got that, number six? Okay. Let's see some. Dan, yes. So the world will know. You know, it's amazing. I read this book in AIM. We had to read like 5 books a day for about, 2 years. And one was early church evangelism. And the impact wasn't about handing out invites. It was through their lives, through the way they served and gave to one another. So what was your comment you got up there? Okay, so the world will know. All right. Yes. To help each other stay faithful. Okay. Help each other stay faithful. That misses a Wiggins back there. Now you guys are doing great. You guys are doing good. You guys are doing awesome. Okay, yes. Stronger. Because we're stronger together. We're stronger together. Okay? Katrina. Because it's fun. Yes. Because it's fun. Isn't it fun? Is that 10? Oh, I'm sorry, Greg. I was going to come and get you. But you'll be 11. All right. Here's what I want us to do. Each time we get together in midweek, I want us to build. We're going to have a different top 10 list every week. And I want us to build on it and just take a look and see how it builds so that we can understand the reasons why we need to have life together, not just build because that's what we do as a church, but really, really, what does it mean to do life together? And I pray that we can individually make those confessions. It starts with the confession that Jesus is Lord, He's our Savior, He is the center of our community. Amen? So we got 5 minutes. It's 5 till 8. I'd love to have some feedback, questions, thoughts before we close. Anybody?